Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Shortly after 6:30 p.m. this evening, some large groups of juveniles began a fairly large-scale disturbance at the mall.
I just hear one loud pop, just pop. You know what I'm saying? Everybody just scatters and start running all over the place. Like, it was to the point where people were getting trampled over, and it was just chaos.
That was audio from USA Today. I believe that was from a mall in Ohio. Hammer, disturbances not just in Ohio, Indianapolis, but all over the country. New Jersey, North Carolina, New York, Colorado, Arizona. Shall I go on? Cleveland,
Texas, Pittsburgh,
Memphis. I don't know what was in the water last night, but it was not a good time to be a mall shopper. It is the Hammer and Nigel Show. We're in for Chad Benson tonight and all week. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, or at Chad Benson Show. My name is Nigel. That's Hammer over there. And what I did, I go to the shopping mall, Hammer, once a year, and there's a reason for it. Well, I don't like people. Crowds.
You're lazy.
Well, lazy's part of it.
You don't have money.
But that's why, I work in radio, but most of all, I don't want to take the risk of running into one of these things. This was a bad scene last night, and that kind of thing just brings out the worst in people. It kind of, I lose faith in humanity. I want to lock my kids in the basement and never let them go out.
So to recap, in case you didn't see what happened last night, or you haven't been following social media, or you haven't listened to the radio a whole lot, there were a lot of incidents in malls last night where teens, unsupervised, were either fighting, shooting and fighting, and it happened all over the country.
I don't think there were any confirmed reports of actual shots. It may have sounded like it. I know in that sound clip that I just played, part of it was like the police saying, no, we thought we heard something, but that was unconfirmed. But either way, brawls in these malls where there are families going to shop. Like, for instance, in Indianapolis, there was a brawl between female juveniles over a boy. And, Hammer, I don't know what it means to be fueled by social media, but that's what you keep hearing over and over in these stories. These brawls were fueled by social media. What does that mean?
Well, let's backtrack just a little bit. I'm 39 years old. The era that I grew up, you heard about fights that day. You met somebody in the playground.
Oh, yeah.
You met somebody after school. You took care of business. Now, fueled by social media means these things fester online. There's trash talk back and forth.
Cyberbullying.
Everybody's friends get involved. And the more people that get involved and the more people that have their hand in this cookie jar, the worse things become. Social media, in this case, fuels it because these public feuds now ultimately, you meet somewhere and you hash it out. I mean, that's what happens. And
what was it about last night, though? I don't understand that.
Apparently,
I don't understand.
All these mall altercations last night were not connected to each other, according to multiple authorities. This wasn't like some sort of, organized crime thing. This wasn't like an organized terror thing.
It's a hell of a coincidence, though.
It is. It really is. And I think that's honestly what it is.
Unless this thing goes on more than we know.
And maybe that's the case. But the bigger issue to this is, how do you prevent it from happening again? And all morning long, you've heard national radio hosts, people going on television, treating this like it's 1950. Well, what you need to do is make sure all these kids have their mother and father with them all the time. They need to be encouraged by their mother and father. Yes. That's not wrong, but my God, let's treat this like 2016 and 2017. These kids are probably coming from a home where maybe there's one parent, and maybe that one parent doesn't do a damn thing.
Or maybe there's no parents. Maybe there's no guidance. I think we can all agree that it starts with the parenting. There's no disagreement that these kids probably that are in these mall brawls, probably some of it stems from bad parenting. I know, like, if I was a kid and I was in a mall. Did you hang out in the mall a lot, Hammer, when you were?
Very little.
Phil, did you hang out in the mall? Did you go to the mall just to, quote-unquote, hang out?
No, I went to the mall when I needed something and then I left.
I never went to the mall just to sit there on a bench. Some people go there to power walk. Some people go to people watch. But no,
I never went to go pick up chicks. 13-year-old Nigel never went out to the mall and tried to look at some girls, yell at some girls.
No, I had absolutely no desire to do any of that. And I will say, I do remember a feeling of maybe freedom when I got dropped off at the mall. Because there were occasions where I'd be dropped off with my friends, my mom. I had to go get something, take something back. Yeah, I get to walk around the mall and hang out, but I never did it on a consistent basis. These malls this week have been filled with kids, and I think it's probably because of, obviously, holiday break. They're on school vacation.
Right. They should be at school this time if they're even going to school. They're on break right now. The 26th, which was yesterday when a lot of this stuff went down, one of the busiest days in shopping malls because people are either returning gifts they got for the holidays or they're using some gift cards that they got for the holidays.
So I'm thinking it's a basic, you know, don't let, you know, these malls are going to have to do something. They're already in trouble. They're already, you know, empty at most times during the day, except when there's a holiday break. But I think the malls are in trouble, man. I went shopping for my wife. I go to the mall one day a year. I planned it out. I Google searched all the stores I was going to in the mall, had the map out. I was in and out in 30 minutes. And every store I went into, it kind of surprised me, and maybe I just don't go. There were like 50% off sales in every store I went to, like Banana Republic, Athleta, Anthropology. All these stores are like 50% off. And I'm thinking, man, this is like right before Christmas. This is the time when you don't have a sale.
Already, you know, they were having trouble bringing in customers.
Right.
And we kind of joked about this before, but the big winner of this situation last night with the malls was Amazon and Amazon Prime. They were the big winners last night because if you need to give people an excuse not to go out somewhere, they're not going to.
Let me give you a suggestion. Are you an Amazon Prime member, Hammer?
Yes.
You are?
Yes.
Are you an Amazon Prime Now member? You know what Now is?
No.
They'll deliver, like the other night, we needed juice, we needed milk, we needed bread. We had just gotten back from vacation. Amazon Prime Now delivered all that stuff within 2 hours to our front door. We needed, like, the basics. And they gave us a two-hour window. I did it right on my phone, ordered some Gatorade because I knew it'd be hungover the next morning. And then I also ordered some juice and some milk, and they delivered those right. I mean, it's getting easier and easier to stay home is what I'm getting at.
Did they knock on the door? Do you have to tip the person? Because I'm too cheap. I don't want to have to tip.
They suggest on Amazon Prime Now a tip of like $5, depending on how much the cargo is worth. And it's worth every penny. It's easier and easier to stay home, and shopping malls are going to have to put the lockdown on these kids that come and hang out and cause trouble because people aren't going to want to go put up with it anymore.
And things are not going to change. We've said it before. There's an expression of, well, there's no such thing as a bad kid. Bull crap. There are some horrible kids. Bad.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing, too. We could talk about kids growing up in a home without parents, single family, neglect. But that's my worst nightmare. As a father is, I'm going to consider myself a pretty good dad. You're a good dad, I know that. But there's only so much you could do to raise your kids, right? Sometimes they're going to screw up. And I think there is a certain percentage of that.
Call his grandmama mommy and his mama Pam, he's going to jail.
Thank you, Phil. That scared the crap out of me.
It sounded like I was in the mall and I was running for my life.
Whew, that got my heart beating. I thought I heard hit a button here in the studio, and then I hear Chris Rock. I didn't know if the F-bomb was going to get dropped or not.
Just peed a little bit. Just a little bit.
Oh.
But the serious question, you talked about being a father, Nigel.
Yeah.
Are we at the point now where you have to have the discussion with your kids? Now, I know they're years away from being teenagers, but you have to have the discussion with them that if you're at the mall and shenanigans break out, this is what you do. You have to have an exit plan. You have to have a plan of getting the hell away from that.
You don't run towards the disturbance. You run away. You tell me. You got older kids. You got a 12-year-old. What do you tell him?
Same thing. If you're at the mall and someone you're with is being a knucklehead or you see knucklehead activity, you get the hell out of there. You call mom. You call dad. You take an Uber, whatever it is. Get home. There will be no consequences at all. Just run away from it. And it's ridiculous that we have to have these speeches with our kids now. This is kind of on the heels of my 8-year-old. 8-year-old in school has to do active shooter drills in school. You have to know where to go in case there's an active shooter and know what to do and know what position to be in. What the hell?
You know, back in the day, all you had to worry about with your parents was that abstinence versus sexual protection conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Abstinence versus sex.
Safe sex.
Versus safe sex. That was the word. That's all I had to worry about when I was a kid was that conversation.
And that was abstinence a controversial discussion in school, right?
What do you tell your kids to have sex or to abstain? If you tell them to have sex, then you do it right. Use prophylactics. I used to call them Jimmy hats.
How very digital underground of you. Humpty Hump would be proud.
But
well
yeah,
done.
Now that was the only conversation you had to have with your kids back then. Now it's mall brawls and what happened
school?
School
shootings, yeah. And what to do if somebody comes in with a gun to your school. So the question we're going to put out there on Twitter, we'd like for you to tweet at us tonight. We're very interactive, at Hammer and Nigel, all one word, at Hammer and Nigel. What is a realistic way to handle the mall violence? We can all agree that these kids need to have parents, but that's not going to happen. That's not going to change. And the kids are probably going to get worse. They're not going to get any better. So how do you rectify the situation? How do you make things safe in these malls and places where teens like to get together?
Curfew? Does that work? Curfew? Maybe not letting a certain age group in after 6 p.m.? How are you going to check all those IDs? I don't know.
Right. And all morning long, 1950s guy, you know, Ward Cleaver has been beating over our heads, well, it starts at home. Yes, nobody's arguing that. But let's have a 2016-2017 discussion about it. Let's not be naive. These kids' home life is garbage. Their parents are probably lazy. And their parents can't wait until they drop them off at the mall so the mall can deal with their out-of-control asses for a few hours.
Speaking of the mall, this Cinnabon story, this isn't real. This has got to be fake news.
This is real?
The Cinnabon tweet?
It has been deleted.
Oh, no. Cinnabon deletes a tweet, and it has to do with the passing of Carrie Fisher. We'll get to that next. It's the Hammer Nigel Show in for Chad Benson.
Guys are clear.
Something is going on here.
Say what?
Well, good luck with that.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
I mean, if you go to the shopping mall at 10:30 on a Wednesday in February, I don't think you're going to have a problem, Hammer.
No.
It's nighttime on a Friday in the summer. It's when kids are on holiday break, unsupervised. There's where the problem lies. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show in for Chad Benson, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. At Chad Benson Show is the Twitter handle, or you can get a hold of us at Hammer and Nigel. My name is Nigel. That's Hammer over there. And
Jen sent us a message at Hammer and Nigel. We put the question out there on our Twitter of what's a realistic thing you can do to make the mall safer? Jen's response, don't go to the mall.
I like Jen.
Thank you, Jen.
I like that style of thinking right there. Okay, before we had the break last segment, what is this thing from Cinnabon? Is this real? Are you sure this is real before we talk about it?
This is real because it's been deleted. Carrie Fisher passed away earlier today. Actress Carrie Fisher, best known as Princess Leia from Star Wars. If you know anything about Star Wars, the iconic look that Princess Leia has in that movie is the bun hairstyle, right? She's got on the side of her head.
On either side of her head.
Right by the ears, like buns for her hair. Well, Cinnabon puts out a tweet where it's artwork of something that's supposed to look like Princess Leia's character in Star Wars with a Cinnabon right where the ear would be. And it reads, R.I.P. Carrie Fisher, you'll always have the best buns in the galaxy. That was at Cinnabon earlier tonight.
Where is this real? This is not fake news. This is because that right there, that's crickets, man. That's just, oh, my God.
Needless to say, Nigel, this did not go over well on social media.
Read the tweet again. The deleted tweet from Cinnabon?
Yep. I just put this out there on our Twitter, at Hammer and Nigel. So if you want to see it, it's there.
All right.
R.I.P. Carrie Fisher, you'll always have the best buns in the galaxy.
Just let the crickets play for the rest of the segment. That probably actually sound better than what we have to offer.
I mean, my goodness.
Yeah.
Somebody had to put that out there. I mean, you can't put that out there, right? I mean, that's, you can't be that stupid.
And there's a picture of Princess Leia. It's her profile, right? And instead of the bun hairdo, there's a picture of the, they replaced it with a picture of the Cinnabon.
Needless to say,
it looks good with Cinnabon.
Has been deleted from the official Cinnabon Twitter account. But you can see it right now. Somebody screenshot it. We've got it at Hammer and Nigel on Twitter.
You and I were talking about Carrie Fisher's most famous lines in Star Wars. What line is she most known for? What's her most famous line in the first Star Wars? You said it was this.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Yes, Star Wars 1, A New Hope. It's the name of the film. And I think if you go ask any Star Wars fan and say, quickly, name a line that Princess Leia says in Star Wars, it would be that one right there.
Is this line bigger than that one?
You stuck up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder.
I love that one.
It's a good line. It's not the most iconic, though.
Well,
because a lot of bands, let's put it into a musical sense here. Some bands, their most iconic song might not be their best one. You know, Journey's probably best known for Don't Stop Believin'. Is that their best song they've ever made? I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I'm telling you, if you go knock on the door of every Star Wars fan and say, quickly, you've got 5 seconds, name a line that Princess Leia says in Star Wars, it's "Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope."
And I didn't know, you alerted me to this, that, I mean, you're a Family Guy lover. You love the animated series.
The amount of Family Guy that I've got recorded on my DVR is staggering.
You stuck up.
Oh, yeah, let me play this. How much time we got? We got enough time to play? Oh, boy, we got it, yeah.
Griffin, get in here and make sure you have on your new uniform.
Why am I the only one who has to wear denim shorts?
Because you're the only one who looks this good in them. Damn, Griffin, you fill those out nicely.
The Hammer and Nigel Show, in for Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Every time I think about Trump, I get allergic. Once I get over my allergic reaction, let me say that Donald Trump does not have the temperament to be our commander-in-chief.
Poor Hillary. Imperfections and all, coughing on stage, the media loved Hillary, didn't they?
Oh, the media had an absolute love fest for everything she had to represent.
The Hammer and Nigel Show, in for Chad Benson, tonight and all this week, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. You can tweet at us, at Hammer and Nigel.
And let the record clearly state, there's only one person on this show that would ever say, poor Hillary. And it would not be me. You feel bad for people, though. You're a people person. As to where I'm a heartless, cynical a-hole.
Yeah, look, I got, I don't paint myself with a liberal left-wing brush at all. No way.
But you hate everybody equally.
No, but I do. I've kind of got a sensitive little bleeding heart sometimes when I see people in distress. And good God, Hillary, at every podium she was at during this election, this is all it was.
To be.
I mean, struggle fest.
Our commander-in-chief.
You know, if people didn't end up dead around her, I'd probably feel a little bit more toward your favor, but I just can't. I can't. But the media did, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Again, we're filling in for Chad Benson all this week. We're counting down the days until 2017. We're looking back at some of the things that made us smile in 2016, the year that was. And there are three big things that I want to talk about tonight, Nigel. When we look back at 2016, there were three major love fests by the nationally televised media.
Okay.
Three stories they fell in love with over the top, like in a sloppy, drunk college kind of way. Number one was when the House Democrats did their sit-in for gun control. Do you remember this?
What happened?
That House Democrats were wanting tougher laws on gun control. So what they did was they called it a House sit-in.
Oh, yeah.
They basically sat down, pouted like a big pain in the ass, trying to get things changed. And the media thought this was the most poignant moment in American history.
An extraordinary sit-in on the House floor stretches into the early morning hours.
Make no mistake, this was dramatic, like nothing we have ever seen before. Truly one of the most dramatic demonstrations on the House floor in modern American history.
Were you surprised at how large this got? I mean, Kim Kardashian was tweeting about it.
Oh, wow, that's where you got to go to? Let me give you an idea how big this sit-in was. The Kardashians were tweeting about it.
Were you surprised at how large this got? I mean, Kim Kardashian was tweeting about it.
How long did that last?
It went on for a little while. A couple days, I think. I can't remember the exact length, but the media fell in love with this. I mean, if the Kardashians are tweeting about it, then it's got to be something that can relate to the Rust Belt states, right? I'm sure somebody sitting in their living room in Iowa or somebody sitting in their living room in Ohio gives two damns what Kim Kardashian is tweeting about.
Oh, well, if Kim Kardashian is tweeting about it, I better investigate this.
They treated this story like it was a great moment in American history. Number one, the American Revolution. Right underneath of that, the Democrats' House sit-in.
And how large this got? I mean, Kim Kardashian was tweeting about it.
Boy, if there's one person on the face of this earth, I could care less about their opinion on anything. In any situation, it's any of the Kardashians.
Specifically and on politics.
That was on... What channel was that on? Do you know what that was from?
That was our good friends at MSNBC. Specifically on politics. If you're having a discussion about the best way to get a big ass, then absolutely go to the source. Go talk to Kim Kardashian and let's find out the truth. But we're talking politics. So again, that was one of the love fests that I noticed. And number two, and maybe this is the most bizarre of all the things the media fell in love with, when Fidel Castro passed away, the media spun this in a way to where you thought the Pope, Jesus Christ, and your father all passed away in the same day.
A declared socialist, he dramatically improved health care and literacy.
Many saw positives, education and health care for all, racial integration.
You see the medicine system they are very proud of.
I'm quite certain that they're not celebrating his death in Cuba. And he brought health care.
Even Castro's critics praise his advances in health care and in education.
Considered, even to this day, the George Washington of his country.
He was a romantic figure.
What?
The George Washington of his country.
When he came into power, we American young high school kids and kids in those days rooted like mad for the guy.
He will be remembered fondly.
And he was a voracious reader, very, very smart.
He would be a figure that you'd look up to and say, God, this guy's great.
This guy is great.
Chris Matthews.
Chris Matthews, absolutely.
Talking about Fidel Castro, that went out over the airwaves.
He would be a figure that you'd look up to and say, God, this guy's great.
Yeah, talk to the people in the gay labor camps back in the day.
Are they looking up to him?
Talk to the people that tried to escape Cuba on cardboard rafts just to have a shot at making $5 a week in Miami. Talk to those people to see if he's a guy that looked up to or not. That string of clips you put together, wow.
He would be a figure that you'd look up to and say, God, this guy's great.
God, this guy's great. I mean, look, I understand when somebody passes away, you try to find the positive. You don't want to kick somebody when they're down unless it's a murderous dictator. Someone that is a murderous dictator, you say, ding dong, the witch is dead, and you celebrate. You don't talk about how great this guy is. And as big as that love fest was for Fidel Castro, I think we all know what the biggest love fest the media had this year was, and it was with Hillary Clinton.
No.
Not only when they were speaking to her, the softball questions that she got from, like, Lester Holt, but the way the media tried to force-feed the fact that the election was going to be a blowout.
And I was wondering, do you get your feelings hurt sometimes?
It's been extraordinary. I've got to tell you, Rachel.
Wait a minute. What is this music playing behind it?
Well, if the media is going to fall in love with someone, we thought we'd better put Boys to Men's "I'll Make Love to You" behind it.
Was that Lester Holt at the beginning of this asking her if her feelings were hurt?
Yes.
Oh, God.
And I was wondering, do you get your feelings hurt?
It's been extraordinary. I've got to tell you, Rachel, this armory is filled. The overflow room is filled. They've opened up the doors to the ballroom. There are a lot of people here. James Taylor played for 45 minutes. It was extraordinary. This has been a sort of magical night.
Trump is headed.
Is that Andrea Mitchell?
Andrea Mitchell talking about what a magical night a campaign stump was because James Taylor came out and played.
You can just tell, like, when you watch a story Andrea Mitchell does on Trump, you can just, you could look at her face and see the disdain she has for Trump. And then when she does that story on Hillary,
it's a magical evening.
It's a much different tone.
For a historic defeat.
You know, we could be talking landslide.
Hillary Clinton today is more likely to win in a landslide that would not only have an impact on this race, but realign the country.
That would transform.
Whoa. When you're listening to these predictions.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Slave to an electoral majority and probably electoral landslide for Hillary.
This could be tight or it could be a landslide for Hillary.
Most analysts are saying that Hillary Clinton's going to win in a landslide.
If that spreads among women voters all across the country, he's going to lose by a landslide.
Some people say she did win. Hammer. Popular vote.
Here's your participation trophy. Congratulations.
All right, in your opinion here, why did Hillary Clinton lose this election?
Because her people cannot relate to the Rust Belt states. They cannot relate to the working middle class. The working middle class was ignored by the left for a long time. The working middle class feels like the left only wants to take care of the low-hanging fruit, the minorities, or people that can't even really vote legally. And I think there comes a point in time where you get told you're deplorable. You get told that you don't matter. People take that personally. And America took their presidency back this year. The middle class rose up in an Empire Strikes Back kind of way, and they cut off the arm of the left monster.
Okay, you're talking about the Democrats, and but what about Hillary herself? Was she a good candidate for the Democrats?
She's all they had. They were not going to put anybody else up there. Bernie Sanders probably would have beat Donald Trump handily. Now, it would have been a nightmare. Absolutely. Bernie would have beat Donald Trump handily. But Hillary Clinton is a criminal. Hillary Clinton's got more baggage than anybody in the United States running for a public office. Hillary Clinton made Donald Trump the likable candidate. Think about that for a minute.
Coming up next, we've got this story out of Vegas. This casino, wow. Is this out of Vegas or is this out of Atlantic City?
It's out of Atlantic City, actually.
A huge star in the world of poker is getting the screw job by a casino, and we will have that next. It's the Hammer Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson.
Yo, know what this is, boy.
Chad Benson.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show, in for Chad Benson, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, at Chad Benson Show. My name is Nigel, that's Hammer over there. And Hammer, this story about poker legend Phil Ivey has me scratching my head. Is this the first of its kind, this kind of ruling where he has to pay back money to a casino that he won? I'm sorry, there we go.
Makes you hate the casino even more. Already, you know, when you walk into a casino, probably going to get railroaded, right? Between them charging you out the wazoo for everything now, you can't go to Vegas and even get a comp beer hardly anymore. Well, this happened in Atlantic City. Poker legend Phil Ivey. If you've ever watched any of the World Series of Pokers on television, or at least skimmed through the television when it's on, he's the guy that kind of looks a little bit like Tiger Woods.
Okay.
Phil Ivey, one of the biggest names in poker, was playing a game of Baccarat in Atlantic City. And he learned a technique with a cohort of his where they had an advantage over the house. here's the deal. The back of the Baccarat cards have patterns on them, and they're supposed to be perfectly symmetrical, but they're not. And the Borgata Casino in Atlantic City.
Borgata. It's called edge sorting.
Edge sorting.
There's a name for this. Edge sorting. I've never heard of this before. But I guess the Borgata is claiming that Ivy brought a female guest in, a really smart
kind of a female. Rain Man-like savant, sure, that can identify the back of these cards, and he would adjust his bet knowing what she was telling him based on what they thought was under the card.
So are these cards flawed then?
They're supposed to be perfectly symmetrical. Clearly they're not. So they had an advantage, and throughout four trips to the casino between April and October of 2012, they won $9.6 million. $9.6 million using this device that's just not illegal, by the way.
Well, it's not illegal, but it could be house rules that you're not allowed to bring a ringer in like that who, you know, you can't bring Rain Man in to count cards. You're gonna get thrown out. But the fact that the judge is now saying he's got to pay that money back when clearly, I don't know, maybe I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but, like, it's the casino's fault for having those flawed cards. I mean, if you can beat the system, I mean, they could kick him out and never let, but at what point do you realize this guy's, you know, taking you for all your money? How many hours do you sit there and play Baccarat before somebody figures out, hey, you know, one of the biggest names in poker and this chick that he's with are taking us for millions of dollars?
That's what I was thinking. Nobody recognized him or recognized the fact that he'd been sitting there for 10, 15 hours. He's up a couple million bucks. Nobody pointed that out. Phil Ivey told his lawyer what this ruling says is that a player is prohibited from combining his skill and intellect and his visual acuity to beat the casino at its own game and is now appealing the ruling. I think if the casino is dumb enough to make their cards different, then you can't be mad at the player for taking you to the house, so
wherever
to speak.
Wherever they're getting these Baccarat cards at, they need to go with a different supplier.
A judge.
Edge sorting is what it's called. You look, it's kind of like card counting in blackjack. It's not illegal, but, you know, the back of these cards have patterns on them. And they're supposed to be, like you said earlier, Hammer, symmetrical, but they're not. And so the fact that they're kind of different here and there, somehow Ivy's female guest was able to master the value of the card based on the pattern.
She's one of these beautiful mind people that can just tell the difference. The judge weighed in and stated that Ivy didn't violate game rules, but did violate a New Jersey gambling law that's supposed to block players from using strategies like edge sorting to swipe the odds in his favor.
I'm interested to see what the Twitterverse has to say about that. Should Phil Ivey have to pay back $9.6 million that he won in four visits to the same hotel between April and October? Should you have to pay that back because they caught him, quote-unquote, counting cards or edge sorting, as it were? At Hammer and Nigel is the Twitter handle.
Now, Phil Ivey's probably got the money to where he can pay it back. But let's say this were you and I, and we found our, you know, Rain Man friend to come with us, and boom, we're up a couple million bucks, we cash out. There's no way I've still got that money from 2012.
Oh, you think you would have spent it all by then? That irresponsible with your money?
No, I'm probably living in a house, you dumbass, or having a nice house. You're going to have all the money you had that you won from that night.
You win $2 million, you're going to go buy a $2 million house? That's smart.
Nope, I'm going to buy a $1 million house, but I'm still going to be $1 million short when they come knocking at the door.
What your experience? You're a Vegas guy. You love going to Vegas. I think we're on in Vegas right now. You still love Vegas as much as you do, say, 10 years ago?
No.
Really?
10 years ago, I could go into the sports book at, you know, the Mirage or Mandalay Bay, put $50 down on a ball game, and as long as you're gambling, you put $50 down, they'll bring you a couple beers. Now, they'll give you a ticket. $50 is worth one beer ticket? Thank you for that.
So free beer is the issue here?
For me, it is.
Hey, Phil's producing the show tonight. Why did you stop? Why are you done with Vegas?
Oh, it's because they're going to make it pay for parking now. You shouldn't have to pay to park at a casino. They're going to get your money anyway.
Who drives in Vegas? You walk everywhere.
I drove from Los Angeles.
Okay.
Oh, wow. So you did the whole swingers thing. Vegas, baby.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
I'm not done with Vegas. I want to go back. I can't wait to go back. I'm trying to get there for March Madness. But would it kill them to throw a couple beers your way if you got some money riding on a game?
I got to tell you, I had an experience back in Vegas in 03. There was this strip club. I don't know if it's still there. The Sapphire, which at the time was the largest adult entertainment nightclub, square footage-wise, in North America. Place is huge. It's like a warehouse.
A warehouse of skanks.
And I clocked in. No. These were beautiful, beautiful women. I clocked in at about midnight and didn't walk out of there until 8 a.m. the next morning. It was like that scene in
Varsity Blues.
That scene at Varsity Blues with the strip club all night, and then they walk out, and it's pure bright out.
How much did you drop? How much did you spend?
I spent $2,000 that night alone in the Sapphire.
So moments ago, you were giving me hell because I was spending my imaginary $1 million on a house for my family. You dropped $2,000 in a strip club in a night.
I was single, I had a lot of discretionary income, I drank an inordinate amount, and nothing illicit went on. That's the thing.
Private you gave me crap for buying a house.
All right. At Hammer and Nigel. The Hammer and Nigel Show, in for Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.